Welcome to another episode of TV Babble, where we dig deep into all things TV and try to make sense of it all as best we can. But this week, we're doing that from San Diego Comic-Con. I'm Jim Halterman, West Coast Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine, and the team from TV Guide Magazine and our website, TV Insider, ventured to San Diego to cover a myriad of panels, activations, parties. We moderated more than a few of those panels, and also had a bustling press room where we shot photos and video with cast from your favorite shows like Supernatural, The Walking Dead, Better Call Saul, The Flash, and more. I sat down with my colleague, senior writer Damian Holbrook, and associate editor Emily Aslanian to talk all things Comic-Con. But first, one of the shows that appeared at Comic-Con was Marvel's Cloak & Dagger. The first season finale of the Freeform series airs on August 2nd, and I sat down with stars Olivia Holt and Aubrey Joseph about what we'll see in that big finale. But after we spoke, it was announced that the series had been picked up for a second season, so congratulations to Cloak & Dagger. Let's dive into my interview with Aubrey Joseph and Olivia Holt. All right, we're here with Cloak & Dagger themselves, Aubrey Joseph and Olivia Holt. And there seems to be like somebody crawling in the ceiling ahead above us, but I feel very safe with you guys
Someone's
around.
Someone's going to drop down at some point, but we'll catch them. Yeah.
I know. I feel like I'm in good hands with Cloak & Dagger in the room because you guys will take care of me. So this is kind of our Comic-Con episode. So what's your experience with Comic-Con? Have you ever gone before? Is this your first experience?
We're both newbies. This will be our first time.
Okay.
I'm, like, so nervous, though. For real. Like, I don't really know what to expect, but my mom's coming out, so it's going to be pretty cool to see her, like, experience that, too.
That'll be fun. Yeah. I knew she was coming. Yeah. Yay! It'll be good. My brother's coming, so it'll be, like,
good.
Family affair.
What are you kind of expecting from what you've heard and what you've just seen in the press as every year it rolls around?
We've heard the terms next level. Nothing like you've ever experienced before.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot within that realm. So okay. I think that's why we're nervous. I think they're mostly good nerves, you know, because obviously the show is out now and this is a space where people can come and, you know, we can actually talk about the show and, you know, discuss like what's been happening in the episodes, which I think will be really exciting for the audience because we haven't really had the opportunity to do that yet. So,
yeah.
We're really excited, and I hope we get to walk around the floor a little bit and see what all the
disguises.
All the wild,
you might have to do a disguise.
Happening, I know.
You might be at the level you have to do disguises now.
Hey, we'll see. But no, it's going to be, you know, finally cool to see all the excitement in person because, you know, obviously social media is there. We see all the fans, you know, in the comments, but like actually seeing the excitement in front of our faces is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Like unbelievable.
Well, the good thing since I've gone, I think for 10 years now, the good thing is Comic-Con, it's universally love. So it's not a lot of just negative stuff. It's just a lot of it. So the fans will be screaming, the room for your panel will go nuts, but it's all like in the best way. So that's the good thing.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun though. How has it been like right now? Because I've been talking to you guys now since like way before the show aired to right when it was launching and now it's been out for a while. How has it been for you guys, especially hearing from people and being able to talk about it? Because for a long time you couldn't say anything with the Marvel
lockdown. That was definitely a challenge. But I mean, I think we both feel really good. This is something that, you know, has been in the works for quite some time and it all felt so surreal and then it came out and it still felt surreal and it still feels surreal. It's crazy. Yeah. But you know, I think we're both still like forever grateful for this opportunity and now to be able to actually, you know, talk about it and to discuss some of the things that are happening in the episodes. I mean, for me anyway, it's a game changer in so many ways and it's been fun.
And it just feels so good to be a part of a show like that on television. That's, you know, really pushing the culture forward. And I said that a lot before the show, you know, came out. And I feel like people are really
responding to it. Yeah.
You know, so there's no complaints. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like my family like loves the show. And they're like the second Cloak & Dagger social media page. Because they repost everything. But yeah, it's just been amazing.
Yeah, the conversations over social media have been really great too. I mean, we live tweet almost every single episode. So the engagement that we've been getting on that is, it's pretty spectacular. I mean, some of them are like super witty and funny, but others are super real and just, you know, I think they're just happy to have something to actually, you know, talk about and instead of just being entertained, but also like really impacted by some of the scenes and some of the conversations that we're having in the show.
Yeah.
So we're noticing that it's actually making an impact, which was our goal in the first place. And we're hitting it. So
Well, yeah, I don't know if there's too many other Marvel shows that are hitting on things like suicide and drug abuse and race. Yeah. Like, I was so impressed with, I think it's maybe episode 4 for both of you, because that's the one where Tandy jumps off the bridge.
Right.
But then it's also like your character going into the police department, but talking about why he's nervous about doing that. Mm. I mean, that's like saying a lot about our world. I think that's even his line is like, the world is out to get me or something like that.
Yes, yes. Every day the world is trying to kill me, so...
Yeah, but that's real.
But, like, how cool is it for the first time in television that a young white female and a young black male are talking about
that conversation.
Privilege? Yeah. And, I mean, I've never seen that before in television, and that, you know, I think moved a lot of people in so many ways and, you know, in so many different cultures and races, and I think a lot of people could relate to it and respect both sides, so...
And I think it's evident that the majority of our audience is young, you know, young people. So it's good that they get to see that as just something that's normal on television. And maybe that'll push them to have the same type of conversations.
Yeah. You know? And you've got at least one older viewer.
Why, thank you.
I'm actually watching, too. And I enjoy it. My husband was watching it with me and was just kind of like, he didn't see the first couple episodes because I can never watch everything with him in the room. But then he was just like, wait, so he can do this and she can do this. And what does it all mean? And I said, they're still figuring it out. So I can't answer that. Because it's true.
Yeah, like, it is. It's so true.
I love it about that.
Yeah.
When you guys were filming, what was it like every time you got a new script? Knowing what you'd already been filming, but like, so you, when you get episode 4 or 5 and you get a chance, what was that like for you guys?
I'm going to have to say probably the same as the fans when they see a new episode every week. Like, I was just floored, like, every week reading, you know? And just, I don't know, just always brought a new excitement to our set and, you know, to just the drive to really put these stories on, you know, TV, so... I'm just so excited every single week to watch as well. So
I thought it was really interesting. I felt like our writers sort of saw the future in a way, because when we were shooting some of the episodes, everything that was happening in society was sort of aligning with what we were what we were filming. Like, the Me Too movement happened, and the Time's Up campaign, and then March for Our Lives movement. I mean, everything was sort of like aligning while we were filming these scenes. So I remember we would get an episode and I'm like, how is this like actually happen? Like, they wrote this like, you know, weeks, months in advance, obviously have tweaked things here and there. But I mean, it put us in the right headspace and heart space when we were filming some of those scenes, just knowing that what we were putting on screen off of a page was actually happening in real life.
Yeah.
In society.
Well, also, like, the fans, were you two asking questions as you're reading the scripts, not just about their powers and all that, but about including that in the scripts? So were you guys talking to the writers and the producers about all of that and asking the same questions that the viewer asks?
Right.
Like, you know?
I mean, I definitely feel like we had a lot of involvement in, you know, Tandy and Tyrone's journey. I know that we were really confused when it came to episode 3, when it came down to like their powers and what's happened. It worked for some reason. Like, Olivia and Aubrey's confusion worked for Danny and Tyrone because they were confused as well. And the episode is so trippy in itself. And we were sort of like, we were shooting out of order. So I think we were tripped up just as actors, but you know, I think it's sort of put us in the right headspace to be in those scenes that are so trippy and weird and confusing, because we were confused and weirded out by it as well. Yeah. But
and you definitely have those moments where you go, I don't know if Tyrone would really say this, or, you know, I don't know if Tandy would say this, but those were very rare.
I must say.
Like, the writing team is extraordinary, and I just look forward to, you know, maybe what's up with Cloak and Dagger in the future?
I know. There's got to be more. Got to be more than season 1.
Yeah.
Talk about some of the stunts in there, because I was looking just through a couple of the episodes, and like, when you guys are trying to touch and see how close you can get without it sparking something, but then you both get flung back pretty hard. And I'm guessing there's like harnesses and things involved. Can you just talk about shooting a scene like that and what's involved? Or if there's stunt people, that's fine too, but it looks pretty intense.
Listen, harnesses are...
Yo, thank God you said that. Thank God you just said that.
They are our worst enemy. Frenemy, because, you know, they're obviously keeping us safe and helping us, you know, achieve something that will hopefully look realistic to the audience. But they are the most uncomfortable things to wear in skinny jeans, might I add. So
both of us, by the way.
That particular scene where, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, how close we can get without Tandy's line triggering our crazy. It was a really intense scene to shoot, and we did have our, you know, we both had really incredible stunt doubles who helped, you know, sort of make the scene feel a little more aggressive and realistic, because obviously Aubrey and I can't get hurt because we have six other episodes to shoot after that. But it was really intense, and, you know, I think both of us really wanted to partake in a lot of the stunts, because, you know, it just feels, whenever you feel that feeling of actually doing something, it helps with the scene after that, or even the scene prior. Like, you just, like, you feel the intent, you just feel like it enhanced and intensified, right, and the aggression all in one. I think we both really enjoy doing our own stunts.
Definitely.
Yeah.
As much as we can.
The harness is hard on you as well.
It was a struggle. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to relive that moment. No. It definitely felt crazy, but at the end of the day, I mean, you're doing stunts on a Marvel TV show. So what else could you ask for?
Yeah. I have to ask about your TV moms, because Andrea Roth and Gloria Rubin, I've talked to them for other projects in the past, so I'm fans of theirs anyway.
Yeah.
Are you aware of, like, how amazing they are? Like,
of
even
course.
Before your show, like, have you gone to watch ER to
of
see
course.
Gloria's show? I mean, her episodes will kill you.
No, like, my grandmother used to watch ER, like, all the time. So I literally just knew of Gloria just from watching her on my grandma's TV, you know, screen whenever we went up to the Bronx. But, it was just an amazing opportunity to work with her, because every single scene that I have with her is so intense. So it's kind of like whenever we actually get to work together, it's like this intense acting scene where we really have to be vulnerable. So, after just meeting her for only a couple of days, I feel like just the chemistry was there, and she's just such a sweet person and a loving person. So I couldn't have asked for anyone else to play that role. And, you know, I feel like I learned a lot from her as well.
Yeah.
So
how's it been with Andrea? Because that relationship on screen is really volatile for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, no, it's a very toxic relationship. And Andrea is, like, the most lovely woman I have ever met in my entire life. So shooting those scenes weren't easy. And, you know, Andrea and I had a great communication on and off set. I mean, I've watched her relationship with her daughter, and it's beautiful. And, you know, my relationship with my mother is the same way. We have a great relationship. So to sort of, you know, to target, like, a situation being, you know, sort of the mother of the relationship in the mother-daughter relationship is not an easy thing to do. So with Andrea, there was just a lot of communication when it came down to those scenes, and, you know, what we were comfortable with and what we weren't comfortable with. And you know, I feel really grateful to be able to work with somebody who just, you know, is an awesome scene partner in that way, and can, like, really help you get to that negative headspace, because it's not easy when the person in real life is just so incredible. But she is an insanely awesome actress. So I feel grateful not only to work with her, and, you know, she's a legend in her own, and yeah, a really amazing woman.
And it shows in both those scenes, because I always kind of perk up just a little bit more than I already am, just because I love, I can just tell you guys are having fun acting in those scenes. It's
totally
so cool. I know a lot of people on social media are shipping Cloak and Dagger. Mm-hmm. I see that quite a bit. And there is, like, a spark between the two. Not a literal, there is a literal spark when you guys touch.
Right.
But are you buying into this ship? Like, do you want, I mean, I don't know where the finale is going or anything, but is that something you'd like to see? Or where, I guess, tease that relationship.
Well, obviously in the comics, Cloak and Dagger are together. They're lovers. They're, you know, they're equal in one. And I think it's so important for us to be able to tell the story of Tandy, Tyrone, and their friendship before, you know, anything romantically, like, set a tone platonically, because I think we'll be able to, like, respect them both before anything else, you know. And both Aubrey and I have sort of talked about that and touched on that, and even Joe Pekaski, you know, our showrunner, and the rest of the team. I think it's really important for the audience and for us to watch Tandy and Tyrone deal with the stuff they have going on in their own individual lives, whether that be, you know, friendships or relationships. Mm-hmm. Ty has a Vita. Mm-hmm. I have this weird situation going on with Liam. So, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe in the future it'd be nice to see something, because there obviously is an awesome chemistry between the two. But mm-hmm. I think it's really special to see a friendship form before anything else.
I'm in love with their friendship right now, to be honest. And I feel like most people are, and I know they wanted to go a little further than that, but I feel like it just works perfectly right now, just their friendship and where they are. You know, I think it just, they're good where they are right now.
Yeah. And hopefully the show will have a nice long life, so you can their
timing is everything.
Down there. Yeah, exactly. How would you describe, without spoiling, how would you describe the finale? Because that's coming up on August 2nd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How would you describe the finale? You can give me like a word or two words.
Epic.
Epic's a good word. I feel like epic is just thrown around like it's nothing, but we don't use that word lightly. It is truly epic. I think it's a lot of things. I mean, it's entertaining, it's exhilarating, overwhelming, nerve-wracking.
It was just crazy to shoot because of all of, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but just you were finally starting to feel like a superhero. Like, and I can't wait for everyone to see it. It's huge. It's the biggest episode that we have, so.
It was a pretty intense one to film. Not only is there, you know, there's a lot of emotion in this one, but the physicality is bigger than that. So,
Harnesses were involved?
Harnesses were involved, unfortunately.
That's awesome. Last question. This is one of my fun questions I like to ask you guys. So you're stranded at sea. You're not your character, so you have no powers. But you're stranded at sea, and your saviors are going to be the characters from the last TV show you watched. Who would that be? So basically, what was the last TV show you watched? Because that's who's going to save you.
Okay, you have to understand that this is a really hard one for me because I'm watching Handmaid's Tales. So what do I do and what do I say? I mean, I want to say June Offred, because she's, you know, a kick-ass lady who wants to survive. Not just survive, but she wants to live. So I want to say her right now. Mind you, I'm not done with second season, so I don't know what's happening.
I have a feeling she'll be around, though.
But
they're not going to get rid of Elizabeth Moss. I think she's going to make it through. I can't talk to anybody. I haven't watched the finale yet either.
Yeah, I haven't. But I want to say her because right now she seems like the strongest character out of everybody. I hate everybody else.
Okay.
I know. Everybody else sucks so much.
It's a tough show. So what was the last show you watched?
I don't know if this counts, but Rick and Morty.
Sure. We can have animated people save you.
Okay, good. So I think that's the perfect people to save.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's awesome. So season finale, August 2nd, Freeform. I'm so happy for you guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Hey, it's Jim Halterman, West Coast Bureau Chief, TV Guide Magazine. I'm here with
Emily Islanian, Assistant Editor.
And Damian Holbrook, Senior Writer.
We are barely sitting up because we've just experienced Comic-Con 2018 in San Diego.
So tired,
but we want to tell you guys everything we've been doing here. First of all, the TV Guide, TV Insider press room was a hustling, bustling...
Mother of God, was a machine. Hold on, let me pull up the stats.
It's a machine all weekend.
I have the stats here. It was...
Oh, you have stats.
So, it was... We moderated 8 Comic-Con international panels, promoted 4 exclusive collectible issues, hosted 67 shows in our photo suite, interviewed 273 actors, producers, and writers, shot countless videos, and had a blast doing it.
We did. We had a blast. What was the highlight for you, Emily, as far as who was in the room and who you talked to? Because you did a lot. You did a lot of the interviews, especially when Damian and I were gone.
You guys abandoned me on Saturday.
We were moderating.
Let you fly.
My favorite was probably The Walking Dead. I've been a fan of the show since the beginning, and it was just crazy to be able to like see them on the couch and talk to them and interact with them. And they were just amazing. That was my highlight. And I got a picture with Norman Reedus afterwards, which, you know,
he's a lovely, lovely guy.
He was so sweet. They were all sweet.
Damian, what was your highlight here in the room?
In the room. Oh, wow. In the room. There were so many nice. I think when Jensen Ackles came in, on Saturday?
Friday.
Oh my God, it feels like it was 18 years ago. When he first came in, he just reminded me of why it's so fun to cover Comic-Con. He gets it. He's so great with people and the press, and he's grateful and he's humble and he's funny and he gets his time. And it's just one of those reminders that not everyone is a monster.
I would say my favorite. My favorite part, I love talking to the Better Call Saul cast because I've already watched 3 episodes of the new season because I'm covering it for the magazine. The new season is so good, and people that love Breaking Bad should be watching this show because the timelines are getting very close and it's feeling much more Breaking Bad-ish as far as the tension, the violence, and all that. It's not the mild-mannered show that it started with. So talking to Bob Odenkirk and the whole cast was fantastic. But a side note, we did a lot of the interviews right by the window here at the Hard Rock in San Diego.
So great.
And there were so many times that we'd have a gaggle of fans taking selfies. Sometimes the talent would actually get up and take selfies with them against the window.
A mob of fans.
Yeah, it was like the Today's Show's window on the world, like in costume.
Yeah. It was amazing. So that was really fun because that's what really Comic-Con is all about, is the fandom.
Yeah.
And we're fans, but then you see the real fans who, this is like Christmas to them. I think a lot of people just, this is what their whole year is built around.
Like the people that don't get to be in a room like this where we get the talent, the producers and the directors and the publicists bring us people, the people that can actually get access at panels, at signings and things like that on the Comic-Con floor, it's, you know, it's so vital for them because these fandoms are what keep these shows going.
Yeah. By the way, if you guys are hearing a bunch of noise around us, we're literally breaking down the Comic-Con room around us while we do this podcast. So you're hearing Martin the photographer and a lot of other people doing all sorts of things in the room. It's amazing. We also moderated. Damien and I moderated. I did 3. You did
5
panels. Yeah. Which ones did you do?
So on Thursday, the first day, I did Snoopy and NASA because the Peanuts crew is partnering with NASA on STEM education and inspiring kids to get more involved in physics and math and English and all the cool stuff, electronics. And so we did that and we brought Snoopy out, which was amazing. And then Saturday I did Krypton, The Gifted, Supergirl, which was amazing because they announced their first trans superhero of the Arrowverse. And I think pretty much of any place. And then the TV Guide, that was huge news. And we brought out the actress, Nicole Maines, and she was amazing. And then we did the TV Guide magazine fan favorites 2018, our 9th annual collection.
I heard rumor this was the best one ever.
You know what? I have heard that as well. I don't like to boast because the story is not me. It's the panel. It's the people that are on it. And one of my favorite things about this year was, and one of my favorite things in the room was, we had Tom Ellis who. You know, Lucifer didn't have a panel at Comic-Con this year because they had been canceled and they didn't have any space. And when the show got picked up, TV Guide Magazine and TV Insider had been so supportive of the show and the campaign to find it a new home that they immediately reached out to us and said, we'd love to have Tom come on to the your fan favorites panel. And he is clearly a fan favorite, but the whole panel was. It was, Amber Nash from Archer, Cameron Cuff from Krypton, Summer Bischel from Magicians, Melanie Scrofano from Winona Earp, which is blowing up. Eliza Taylor and Bob Morley from The 100, and they're so lovely. And Robert Buckley from iZombie, who's hilarious. And Kat Graham, who was on The Vampire Diaries and is now doing a voice of the first black April O'Neil for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So it was such a fun time.
It sounds like from what I heard.
Oh, we had David Mazouz from Gotham also.
Nice. It sounds like from what the people that were in the audience, a couple people told me that everybody was bantering really well. Like everybody jived really well in probably a way you couldn't have predicted.
It was like a great cocktail party up there. Like they were joking with each other and like doing callbacks to other jokes. And it was really, really cool to watch. And that's what the idea of this panel is to give the fans that experience of these actors intermingling with other fandoms and shows that there might be fans of. So like you would get to see Eliza from The 100 talking to Melanie Scrofano and finding out that they're fans of each other. It was so cool.
That's amazing. Our staff writer, Kate Hahn, also moderated Vikings.
The Vikings. Yeah. And I think this is like her 5th consecutive Vikings
title. I think
she's
done it since the first
she's
year.
She's like an unofficial Viking.
She's a Viking herself. So that was another one.
And what did you
one.
Do?
I did Discovery of Witches, which is a hot book series by Deborah Harkness.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And I still haven't seen an episode,
I'm
but I
so
saw
excited
clips.
About
it looks really, really good because Matthew Good, Teresa Palmer are the leads. And I want to read the books. I want to do
the books are so popular. And I told you, I was like, it's like an adult version of Shadowhunters.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
with vampires and witches and mythology and the South. And the books keep getting deeper and deeper into the mythology.
Yeah. And Deborah was on the panel. And I think, as you warned me before the panel, I think the audience loved that she was there. Mm-hmm. Because she knows the world. She created the world. She was able to talk to all that. And the fans went nuts.
Yeah.
Then I also did Midnight Texas. Which
your second consecutive,
two.
I believe, right?
I did.
Did you do that last year?
I did like their New York Comic Con, I believe.
That's what it was. Okay.
Like before, way before the show ever premiered. So, but the cast is so much fun and the audience loved it. They're coming back in October on NBC. And then I also did Manifest, which is a new NBC drama. With Josh Dallas and Melissa Roxburgh. That's if you guys haven't seen the trailer, it's basically about a plane that disappeared for 5.5 years while it was up in the air.
And
the
and
mystery,
it looks crazy
because the pilot's actually really solid, and there's definitely a lot of mystery around it. It does have a Lost feel about it, but the producer Jeff Rake, who created it, he contends that he has the whole series charted out. It's not like let's figure out where this is going as we write.
Wow,
so he's
really?
Like,
so we're not going to get tailies in the third season?
No smoke monsters, none of that stuff. but that was really good, and the audience got to see the pilot, and so the panel was not very long.
So fun.
They loved it, and that's the thing. And we came out and quickly just kind of touched on some stuff, but those panels were all really fun. So there's something about moderating at San Diego Comic Con that's like no other because the audiences are just so much.
It's the rabbit. It is epic scale.
Yeah.
Like you walk into these panels, and there's like 4,000 to 6,000 people in some of these rooms, and you're just like. Oh, good God.
And there's a lot of pressure to please the fans.
A lot of pressure. More and more every year for the actors and the moderators and the producers and the other fans. And if you ask a question, it's it's brutal out there sometimes.
Yeah, one of the things a lot of people were asking me is if I thought the crowd was less this year because there wasn't a Game of Thrones, there wasn't an Outlander. Did you guys feel like the audience was smaller?
Well, this is my first year in San Diego.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. What do you think, Damon? Because you've been coming for years.
So I didn't think the audiences were smaller. Like Ballroom 20 for The Gifted and Supergirl were – it was standing remote. I mean, it was massive. The room was sold out. And then when I did the Indigo Ballroom, both rooms were packed. They were still letting people in. So I don't think it was the crowds inside the ballrooms and the panels. It was more the crowds – at Comic-Con itself.
Okay.
Like the streets felt more open. The floor felt way more, you know, open and easier to move around. Preview night, which is usually a crush, was manageable.
Nice.
And it just felt like, you know, it just seemed like a little smaller. There was no Star Wars. There was no Netflix Stranger Things. There was no Game of Thrones. No Marvel.
Yeah.
Really? It was, there were definite noticeable absences because last year it was like Westworld was a huge draw. And, you know, obviously Stranger Things was. We didn't, like, I don't even hear anything big about The Meg, and that's the only movie I care about right now.
The shark movie.
Oh, my God,
yes. I love it. I mean, you guys did hit some of the activations. I was at the Good Place activation that NBC put up, which was basically a replica of the town, but it was amazing. There was Froyo and all sorts
so
of fun
cute.
Stuff. It was really cute. So if you love the show, that was the place. A lot of people were stopping. I know they had really good traffic in there. Where did you guys go?
I did Castle Rock, which is the complete opposite of that, a not-so-cute house.
Right.
They basically walked you through, and it was like a haunted house kind of a thing, and you did like room after room, and it was good. It definitely kind of had a feel for what the show is going to be about, and it was kind of scary. There were some jump scares there, for sure.
So I had that same experience at the DC Universe activation. So DC Universe is the DC Comics digital platform, and it's going to be, you can stream TV shows and movies, and you can download comic books, and you can read comic books on your TV, which is heaven. It's going to have all the DC archives. It's basically your one-stop shop for everything DC, and they had this like multi-level activation where there was an escape room that was tied to their new show Titans, and the escape room was really cool. Then they had like a walkthrough swamp for Swamp Thing that turned out to scare the crap out of me. I screamed. They had a Harley Quinn cell, which was also really scary. They had a walkthrough living comic book where they had
characters.
That was very cool, but you didn't know if they were actually dummies or people in costume standing really still until you passed it.
There was a mannequin room in the Castle Rock house.
Yeah, not okay.
They had them animatronically turn their heads.
No,
oh my God.
Yeah. So that was a great activation. That digital platform is going to be insane. You'll lose me for hours on that thing. And then I went to Purge City, which should have been scary because it's based on the Purge series that USA is doing based on the Purge movies.
Right.
But it was like a party city for your Purge night needs. And it had like you know, baseball bats with studs. It had, you know, gallons of gasoline. It had Purge Night cake mix. It had, you know, reflective tape and security lights and, you know, those moss costumes that you could use to hide to jump in and, you know, do an attack.
Okay.
It was really a demented experience, but they had populated the store with improv actors posing, like playing store employees who were like happily selling you, you know, this flamethrower. And, you know, it was, they had Purge my cards. It was really, really, really clever and very, very on brand for the Purge.
Wait,
franchise.
So what did you buy?
So I got a hat that said Purge Night Medic. I got a Purge card that said, I hope that the Purge is a swing and a hit for you. And then like a button for the 28th Amendment, which is for the new founding fathers in the movie and the series,
right,
where you are allowed to purge and murder and all crime is legal for 12 hours. So sick.
World.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a wrap on Comic-Con 2018. You guys can go online and order the four issues.
Yes.
The Comic-Con issues, because you're going to want all four.
Supernatural, Riverdale, a DC Arrowverse crossover one, and
Mad Magazine. So get those online, and that's a wrap from Comic-Con.
Thanks, guys. Get some sleep.
We're going to need it. We all need sleep.
Oh, yeah.
All right, bye.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this special Comic-Con episode of TV Babble. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more TV coverage from the Television Critics Association's Summer Press Tour. Remember to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode, and feel free to tell your TV-loving friends too. Until next time, keep babbling.